followed mission protocol, Yeager objected. She was programmed to return at a specific time, and that's just what she did.
Precisely, said Archer.
Michael Johansson raised a long-fingered hand and said, It's no reflection on you, Max. The bird left just as things were getting interesting.
Yeager muttered something too low for the rest of them to hear.
Westfall asked in her soft little girl voice,
What do you mean, just as things were getting interesting?
Johansson turned to her. Let me show you. He clicked his own remote, and the wall screen darkened. More contrast, Johansson murmured. The screen brightened somewhat, showing the shadowy figures of Leviathans gliding easily through the depths. The Leviathans weren't in their usual feeding location, said the lanky Johansson, getting up from his chair like a giraffe climbing to its feet. Most of the time Faraday was down there was spent searching for the creatures. And being attacked by the sharks, Yeager added. With a nod toward the engineer, Johansson said, Yes, but the primary objective of the mission was to observe the Leviathans. By the time Faraday found them, it had to leave the scene and return here.
As it was programmed to do, Yeager insisted.
Archer stepped in. As it was indeed programmed to do. No one's faulting the vehicle or its performance, Dr. Yeager.
Yeah, but I see a lot of unhappy faces along this table, Max grumbled.
That's not your fault, Archer soothed. The problem is that the vessel was following the program we wrote for it, without the capability to change that programming in the face of unexpected events.
Yeager nodded, but still looked unhappy.
We did learn quite a bit, Archer continued. The Leviathans have left the feeding area where we've always found them before.
Johansson interjected. The stream of organics flowing in from the clouds above the ocean has been interrupted, probably by the impact of Comet McDaniel-Lloyd last month.
One of the biologists, a blocky-sized woman with a military buzz cut, said,
So they went searching for another stream to feed on.
Exactly, said Johansson. Archer pointed out, Faraday found a larger grouping of sharks than we've ever seen before.
And they attacked the vessel, said Johansson.
No damage, Yeager said.
The buzzcut biologist pointed out,
The sharks seemed to be exhibiting territorial behavior. Once the ship moved away from them, they stopped attacking it.
So what have we got here? Archer mused aloud.
The comet impact disturbs the stream of organics falling into the ocean. The Leviathan herd moves off to find a new feeding area, and the sharks come together in the biggest grouping we've ever observed.
And drive away our vessel, the biologist added.
Territorial behavior, pure and simple.
I don't know if it's pure or simple, Archer countered with a placating smile, but it's definitely behavior we've never observed before.
The Leviathans also exhibited new behavior, Johansson pointed out.
The screen showed one of the gigantic creatures swimming away from the rest of the herd, going off alone. The sharks immediately darted after it.
Then the screen went blank.
What happened? Westfall asked.
What did they do?
We don't know, said Archer.
That's the point where Faraday left the area and returned here.
As programmed, Yeager said.
It's too bad the ship was programmed to leave when it did, Johansson said, looking at Archer rather than Max.
Just when things were getting interesting.
Archer nodded. Glancing at Westfall, he said, This clearly shows the limit of robotic missions. If there had been a crew aboard the ship, they would have stayed to observe these new behaviors. They wouldn't have left because of a pre-programmed schedule.
If they had enough supplies on board to remain, Westfall countered.
Yes, of course, Archer agreed. But the point is, there's a limit to what we can accomplish with robotic missions. We need to get people down into that ocean again. We need crewed missions.
Everyone around the table looked toward Westfall.
She sat in silence for several long moments, apparently deep in thought. Archer saw the tip of her tongue peek out from between her barely parted lips.
Calmly, deliberately, Archer said to her, If we're going to learn more about the Leviathans, if we're ever going to find out if they're intelligent and perhaps make meaningful contact with them, we've got to send crewed missions down there.
In spite of the dangers, Westfall murmured.
In spite of the dangers, Archer confirmed.
The crews will be volunteers, of course. They'll all know the risks they're running.
Yeager spoke up again. I think this mission proved that Faraday is a tough bird. A crew will be safe with her.
As safe as possible, one of the scientists muttered.
Safe, Jaeger said flatly.
Westfall heaved an almost theatrical sigh.
I see, she said.
I understand.
Then you won't oppose a crewed mission? Archer asked, his face alight with hope.
With some reluctance, Westfall said softly, No, I won't oppose a crewed mission. I still think it's terribly risky, but I suppose I'll have to stand aside and let you try it. A burst of grateful relief gusted from the scientists around the table. Westfall smiled at them, thinking, Give them enough rope, and they'll hang themselves.
Grant Archer's office. Deirdre felt a jumble of emotions as she entered Dr. Archer's office. She had deliberately come 10 minutes early for the meeting, hoping to have some time to speak with the station director alone. But Archer was already deep in earnest conversation with a dark-skinned, very serious-looking man whose image was displayed on one of the office's wall screens. The data bar beneath his image read, Dr. Zareb Muzarewa, University of Selene. Muzarewa had been director of the station before Dr. Archer, Deirdre knew. Archer noticed her as Deirdre slid his office door back and waved her to a chair, while the man on the wall screen was saying, It's true, Grant. She told the chairman of the council that she's withdrawing her objection to a crewed mission. As she silently took a seat next to Archer, Deirdre could see that the station director was practically glowing with satisfaction. That's great, Zeb, he said to the screen. It's a big load off my mind. We can go ahead now without any worries. Muzarewa's expression remained stony. Don't get too happy about it, my friend. She repeated her concerns about the safety risks of the mission, but said you assured her the vehicle was safe and the crew would be volunteers. That's right, said Archer. It's true. And the way she worded her message, she's withdrawing her objection, reluctantly, only for this one mission. Archer waved a hand in the air. That's good enough, Zeb. Once we get a crewed mission in and back safely, we'll have proved that crews can go down again. On the other hand, Muzarewa said slowly, choosing his words with obvious care. If anything goes wrong with your crewed mission, it could spell the end of everything. Then we'll have to make certain that nothing goes wrong, Archer said. Muzarewa's flinty expression eased slightly into a tentative smile. If you can do that, you should be running the universe. Something will go wrong, Grant. It always does. You know that. Archer admitted it with a nod. I meant that we'll have to make sure that nothing major goes wrong. Muzarewa nodded back. Perhaps you should try the power of prayer. Prayer never hurts. Put your trust in the Lord, and keep your powder dry. Deirdre recognized the quote. Oliver Cromwell, from 17th century England. Archer laughed. Good advice. Good luck, then, said Muzarewa. Thanks, Zeb. The wall screen went blank. Turning to Deirdre, Archer explained. Zeb was my mentor when I first came to this station. He's been a good and firm friend all these years. I see, Deirdre said. Suddenly she realized, But how can you talk with him in real time if he's in Selene? The moon's at least half an hour away, in light time. He's not in Selene, Archer explained. Zeb's right here at the station, down in the third wheel. He just arrived less than an hour ago. He's carrying your nano-machines. Still bewildered, she asked, He got here from Selene in a week? High G-boost. We know you need the nanotherapy as quickly as possible, So Zeb volunteered to zip out here with your